Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we've gathered on this Sabbath morning knowing that you are God and that you've called your children from all nations, from all tribes, from all languages to gather on this Sabbath day, recognizing that you are the Creator, that you have the power to transform even today. And as I speak, I don't want it to be me. I want it to be you speaking to your people through your Holy Spirit. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do we go through the trouble of building a baptistry? Why do we go through the trouble of taking lessons and preparing for this special moment called baptism? Why do we as a church do it a public event and not something private where only a few people are present? I remember when I was baptized, 13 years old, Dad had the privilege of baptizing me at the PMC, the Pioneer Memorial Church. It was a Sabbath afternoon, 1986. 30 people were there. And that was one of the most special moments in my life. Special because I said, yes, it's starting again. I'm a brand new person. And all those things I did to my sister, whew, they're erased. They're gone. Forever. I came out of that pool with so much peace. Undescribable. But the moment was soon shattered when I found out that, hey, I did this again? I was disappointed that I wasn't perfect, that I had done something again. And I asked God, how does this work? You're supposed to fill me with your Holy Spirit. You're supposed to transform me. You're supposed to make me a new person. What's happening? I'm preparing for this special day. The Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John spoke to me again as I looked at the story of Jesus' baptism. As he went into those waters, being a perfect, sinless person, so that his baptism would count for me. Amen? So that his life would count for me. So that no matter what I did, that baptism of Jesus Christ was done on my behalf. The Gospel of Matthew, if you have your Bibles, open them to the third chapter, verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And it says like this in my Bible. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A small message, concrete message, a message that the prophets had been telling the people of God for centuries, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Gospel of John tells us that Pharisees were coming out, Sadducees were coming out and asking, who are you? With what authority do you say these things? And John would continue doing his work. They asked him, are you the Elijah? Are you a prophet? Are you the Messiah? And John answered, no, I am not. Then how do you do these things? Or why do you do these things? Who do you think you are? Have you ever felt that way? Like you're not somebody special? I was traveling on a plane going to the city of Geneva from London. I was going to school. Passengers there were kids who I found out as I was inside that plane said, my father is the ambassador of Mexico before the United Nations. Two girls from the States. My father works for the U.S. consulate there in Geneva. Another girl said, my dad owns a multinational company. I'm coming from Mexico City. That's where we've been living for the past 15 years. I said, you don't look from Mexico. I says, I'm from England. My parents are English, and they live there. And when they asked me, who are you? I'm a student. I'm a theology student. Oh, you're a religious person? Yes, I am. And one of them quickly said, I'm agnostic. I don't believe in God. And if he exists, you know, I do not care. That made me sad. That was the first time I heard a 17, 18-year-old young person say that. And I spoke with this young lady from England, and I asked her, so what's important for you? What's important for you in this life? And she said the following. She said, what's important is that I know that I am special. That's what she said. It's important that I know that I am special. Are we special, God's people? Amen? We are special. And I'm glad that John the Baptist did not say, well, my dad is a priest in the city of Jerusalem. He works at the temple. Yes, his name is Zechariah, remember? He didn't say that. When they asked him, who are you? He said what we find in verse 3, for this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, saying, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The what? The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John the Baptist was a herald. And heralds in those days would go before the king. And they would say, the king is coming, the king is coming. Prepare, be ready, the king is coming. And people will go out to the streets and they would start filling those potholes up. And they would go out and smoothen it out, put the rocks to the side, make sure everything was level. Because the king was coming. And he was going to go through that city. And he was going to ride his chariot. And they wanted him to just have a smooth ride through that city. The people were supposed to come out and say, welcome, king, to our town. Remember us. We are good. We work hard. We care about your kingdom. And John the Baptist was going to do that same task. He was preparing the way for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Jesus is near, he was saying. The king, the Messiah is near. Everybody was coming out to see him. Everybody wanted to be ready. Verse 5, then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the districts around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. They wanted to be ready to meet their king. But there were others who also came out, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They wanted to be part of the group. It was cool. It was a thing to do. And yeah, maybe they would be seen as doing the right thing before the people. But John said, don't do it just to look good. Do it because you will bring forth fruits that are in the same way as keeping with your repentance. Bear good fruits. Do the right thing. Don't just come out here to look good, but come out here to change, to be transformed. And verse 11, he said, "As for me, I baptize you in water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not even fit to remove his sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." That was his message. Verse 13, somebody came. "Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be," what, brothers and sisters? "Baptized." He, the perfect one, was coming to John to be baptized by him. But verse 14, we would think John would be all happy, right? What did he say? But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Do you come to me, Jesus, to this sinful person? You're coming to me?" And Jesus answered him, saying, verse 15, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." It's fitting for us, John, to do the right thing. Not the comfortable thing, not the convenient thing, not the popular thing. But John, we must do the right thing. What is just, what is correct, that's what we're supposed to do. I don't think John understood Jesus' answer. How is this right? You're the master, you're the king, and you're wanting me to baptize you? But verse 15 ends by saying, "Then he permitted him." And verse 16 continues, "And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" John, we did the right thing. God is pleased. Amen? God is pleased for this. We did the right thing. We did what was pleasing to God. The Gospel of John focuses a little more on this section here. And if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 29. John chapter 1, excuse me, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. In my Bible, I read, "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. Verse 31, and I did not recognize him, but in order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John bore witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him, and I did not recognize him. But he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Amen? In Matthew, it tells us that baptism was important because it was the right thing to do. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. In the Gospel of John, it tells us that it was important because this was the way in how Jesus was manifested to the people of Israel. Through baptism, people would know that this simple carpenter was the Messiah. And if somebody was surprised, it was John. You're the Messiah? You're my second cousin. You're the Messiah. I did not know until I fulfilled what God told me to do. And his eyes were open to see that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Verse 35, again, the next day John was standing and two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him. As if saying, look, he's the one. Don't follow me. Follow Jesus. Follow him. Look at him. And today the message is the same. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus. You will find direction there. You will find hope there. You will find forgiveness in him. The disciples, two of them, says verse 36, and he looked upon Jesus as, verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They followed him. A miracle had happened that day. An important thing, an important event had happened that day. The Messiah, the King, had been manifested. Do miracles still happen today, brothers and sisters? Are you sure of that? Are you really sure of that? Gunter Koch, a friend of ours, and Dorothy, they went to Michigan. They spend the summer in Michigan. I guess it's cooler. And he said, the reason why I'm going to Michigan, Pastor Sam, is because I'm going to go there and see a miracle. Really? Yes, I'm going to go see a miracle. And I said, what kind of miracle? And he says, well, I'm going to go to my garden. And I have these little seeds, and I plant them. They're in Bering Springs, Michigan. And all of a sudden, these carrots come out of those seeds, and these tomatoes come out of those seeds, and these lettuce come out of those seeds, and all these vegetables come out of those little tiny seeds. Pastor Sam, that's a miracle. I go, yes, it is a miracle. And if God can do that miracle in that little seed, can he do something greater in us, brothers and sisters? Can he put his Spirit in this human flesh? Can we be transformed so that we can reflect our Creator? That's the promise. It's not by looking at each other, but it's by beholding the Lamb of God that we are transformed. Amen? By beholding him. and not just once a week, but every day, beholding him, learning from him, asking, God, come into my life, into my heart. Change me, transform me, so that I can be more like you. Beautiful message, amen? Good news. Jesus, the perfect one, went into the baptismal river in my place so that his perfect being, his perfect character could be mine as well. Behold. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of this world.